firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
Well, we're going to hear some rock music today on Through the Bible. Surprised? Listen to these great words from the last song of Moses. God is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth. But Jeshurun grew fat and kicked, for he forsook God who made him and scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation. Our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, called this song rock music because it's all about the rock of Israel, the Lord God of Israel. So come aboard the Bible bus as we reach the end of the wonderful book of Deuteronomy. Our last study begins at verse 24 of chapter 31. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to join us now for a very fruitful half hour in God's Word. We're also in our third week of Letter Month, and we want to celebrate hearts and lives that have been changed through the study of God's Word. You know, I love Letter Month, and what's even more encouraging than reading these letters is the confidence that we have that God is doing the same kind of thing in your life as you allow His Word to change you and grow you up in your faith. Do you have a story of that happening? Maybe an example of how you're not the same person you once were because you're following Jesus and His Word. Or maybe you've experienced peace and strength in a trial that you know could only come from God. Would you share that story with us during Letter Month? You can write to Through the Bible, Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Or email biblebus@ttb.org. You can also post your story on TTB's Facebook page. Now, here's a letter. This is from a Bible bus friend in Michigan who writes, I was born again 7 years ago after spending most of my life as an atheist. I began listening to Dr. McGee on the radio a few months after becoming a Christian. I didn't really care for him at first, mostly because of his southern drawl, but he quickly grew on me, and I became a regular listener. I officially stepped on the Bible bus at the start of his teaching in Revelation, following along in the notes and outlines. Having just finished Revelation again, I can hardly believe it's been 5 years since I started. I've learned so much, and I'm looking forward to the next 5 years. Thank you for keeping the Bible bus going. I am enclosing a small gift to help fill the gas tank. Thank you, and God bless you. Well, thank you for that encouraging note and for your help in keeping the Bible bus going. Now, let's give this time to the Lord as we study. Heavenly Father, your word is marvelous because it points us to our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Open our hearts now as we come expectantly to your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we are in this section that we have labeled a Requiem of Moses. Now, he is giving in, actually, his final report to the nations. It's, as it were, he calls the tribes around him here. And just as old Jacob called the 12 sons about him, the 12 sons now are 12 tribes, and they're a great nation. Now Moses calls them about him. And we read here in verse 24, it came to pass when Moses had made an end of writing the words of the law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. The book, you understand, was not a book like we have today, but a scroll. And on that scroll, why, there was the lettering. And at this particular time, it could actually have been a clay tablet. But we believe that even in Moses' day, it was a scroll. Now he says in verse 28, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes, your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them, for I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Now, before we get into the song here in the 32nd chapter, may I say that this statement that Moses makes here, made it about 3,500 years ago, it's still accurate, still true, and it's been fulfilled quite literally. And it's also true of the entire human family, for God has said that mankind apart from God will utterly corrupt themselves. And all we have to do is look around us today, and we can see that is true. Now we come here to one of the great songs, and this is a song that the nation was to learn. It was sort of like their Star Spangled Banner, or My Country, 'Tis of Thee, or God Save the King, or any patriotic song. It was one the nation was to know. And these songs have had a great deal to do with every people in every nation. As we indicated last time, someone had made the statement, let anyone write the laws of the land, and let me write the songs. In other words, the songs have more influence than the laws do. And of course, if that is true, then we are today in a sad predicament when you listen to these modern songs that are not saying anything that as far as Christians are concerned. And yet the church is falling heads over heels for this type of thing today. May I say that I'm delighted in many senses. I'm no longer a pastor because I'm confident that I would not tolerate a great deal of what I hear today that passes as Christian music. It's not even music, let alone Christian. Now, in this song, however, which is a great song, I wish we actually could go into more detail in it than we are permitted to, but we'll do pretty well. This is a 5-year course, and we can spend a little time. It's prophetic, by the way, and the first 4 verses is the introduction, a call to hear. It says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Now, God calls heaven and earth to witness that these are the conditions on which he's putting them into that land. And when he was ready to put them out of the land in judgment, Isaiah has that song. In fact, it really opens the book of Isaiah, and I want to turn to that. It opens the same way, verse 2 of chapter 1. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. And when God put them in the land, he called heaven and earth to witness the conditions on which he was putting them in the land. Now that he's ready to put them out of the land, over in Isaiah, which, by the way, was at least 700 years later when he put them out of the land. Why, he calls heaven and earth. He's not doing this in a corner. This is not something that he's doing undercover, but that he's justified in putting them out of the land. Now he says in verse 2, here, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Now, that's the way God's word is. The psalmist, you remember, says that he'll come down like rain upon the mown grass. I love that statement. A dear saint in Dallas, Texas, many years ago, she said to a pastor when she lost her husband, whom she loved dearly, she said, now I know, Pastor, the meaning of the psalmist when he says he'd come down like rain upon the mown grass. Well, he's mowed me down, but he's coming down like rain. Now, that's the way the Word of God should come down into our hearts and into our lives. He says, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. And how little of the literature of today promotes God, has something good to say about him. His name is taken in vain today. Now in verse 4, he is the rock. Now here's rock music, you see. This is a song, and the word rock occurs here. I think I've noticed at least 7 or 8 times it occurs in this song. This is rock music, therefore. But the rock happens to be God, happens to be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone today. He's the rock. His work is perfect, for all his way is a judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. How this exalts God, and he needs to be exalted today. Then we find here that the nation returns evil for the grace of God in verses 5 and 6. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people? And unwise, is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? He was, you see, the father of Israel because of creation. He doesn't mention redemption here. It was because he made them. Now, in one sense, God is the father of all mankind in the sense that he created man. But the thing is, when he created man, and Adam was a son of God, but you see, Adam sinned, and after that, they're never called sons of God. That is, Adam's offspring or not. And only those that are the sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is the picture of the human family, a crooked generation. They're foolish people, and that's the picture of mankind today. Now, we have here a wonderful stanza on the goodness of God, Jehovah's goodness, verses 7 through 14. Well, notice there's a very wonderful statement made here in verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, there's a very interesting verse, so much so that you may see that the reason that that land and that people in that land, even today, are such a sensitive spot. Why? Because the entire world we live in is regulated by that land and that people. That is God's earthly purpose, you see. This is a very wonderful passage of Scripture. And then you have here, he found him in a desert land, in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. I trust that you have my book on eagle's wings, because in that I deal with this verse of Scripture. One of the things that the eagle does to teach its young ones to fly is to push them off of that high cliff where the nest is. And then when the little one begins to struggle and fly, and if he doesn't make it, that mother eagle, or the father eagle for that matter, they just come right up and under with their strong wings and bear them up. Now God says that's what he does for those that are his own. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture, Jehovah's goodness. Then you have the apostasy of the nation, verses 15 to 18. Notice what it says, but Jeshurun, that's Israel, of course, Israel waxed fat and kicked. What a picture that is of this affluent society that you and I live in today. Israel waxed fat and kicked. What a bunch of complainers we have in this country today, and Christians join in with it. We've never had it so good. He says, thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. That means you're getting fat, my beloved. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. This is rock song, you see, rock music. But the rock is our Savior. He's our salvation. It's our God. Now, verse 18, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. This is the beginning of the God is dead movement. The point is that God's not dead, but these people are dead in trespasses and sins. It's the apostasy. Then you have the judgment of God upon them, verses 19 through 25. God says, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. God says, what I'll do is, I'll hide myself from them. I will not manifest myself unto them at all. And we wonder today, friends, if that's not where we've come. In our land, there's so many today. A very godly man said to me some time ago, he said, why, I pray that God will move on the scene today. And he doesn't seem to move on the scene. Well, he doesn't, by the way. I think he's hiding himself from us, my friends. Then in verses 26 to 42, you have the longing of God for his people. God says, I'll scatter them into corners. I'll do that. Were it not, he says, that I feared the wrath of the enemy. I don't want them to hurt my people or destroy them, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. And then, verse 30, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? Except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up. For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies, themselves being judges. What a picture that we have here that's given to us. God has a longing for these people, and he wants to redeem them. He wants to save them. Now we come to the last stanza of the song. The nations of the world are blessed with Israel. That's the last two verses. Very important to see this, by the way. Rejoice, all ye nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. And Moses came and spake all the words of this song in the ears of the people. He and Hoshea, Joshua, the son of Nun. And Moses made an end of speaking all these words to all Israel. Actually, the law is revealed here. Moses, as the law, cannot enter the land. Legalism actually is a hindrance. Law is a revealer, not a remover of sin. And he said unto them, verse 46, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day. And then he goes on to say, and the Lord spake unto Moses that self same day, saying, that's verse 48. Now 49, get thee up unto this mountain, Abarim, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. Behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount, whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, was gathered unto his people. Because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel, the waters of Meribah Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. Moses, the representative of the lawgiver himself, cannot enter the land, because law cannot save us, friends, and it'll never bring us into the place of blessing. Now we have chapter 33. Moses gathers the tribes around him and blesses all of the tribes. And I'm not going to have time to go into that at all, other than to call attention to it. We read here chapter 33, verse 1, and this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he began with Reuben, he said, verse 6, let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. Then he keeps going all around, and we find verse 8, and of Levi said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with the Holy One whom thou didst prove at Massah, with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. The nation will be blessed through Levi. And you find as you go on down that Joseph would be a great blessing to his brethren, Ephraim and Manasseh, two tribes, you see. And we find here as you go through this passage that that which was said concerning these different tribes came true. Very interesting one is verse 24. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. It's quite interesting that the oil pipeline that came through that land years ago came in through the tribe of Asher. In fact, it came that into the northern part of the kingdom. And probably again that pipeline will be open. And then verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. Oh, if these people had only obeyed God. Now you have at verse 5 the death of Moses. The question arises, did Moses write his own death? He could have. Been a very simple thing. I've had several funerals of individuals where they wrote out the entire funeral service, told all about it, and they surely did it before they died. But a great many believe that this is part of the book of Joshua. After all, there was not the book divisions that we have today. In the beginning, there were scrolls, and one scroll was just put right on top of another so that the break here could be explained that way. But we read now verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And you ask me why? Well, because of the fact that Moses is to be raised and brought into that land and will appear with the Lord Jesus Christ. The law couldn't bring him in, but the Lord Jesus brought him into the land. And we find here that the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Notice Cecil Alexander's lovely poem of the burial of Moses, and I'll just read just two stanzas here of it. By Nebo's lonely mountain, on this side Jordan's wave, in a vale in the land of Moab, there lies a lonely grave. And no man knows that sepulcher, and no man saw it e'er, for the angels of God upturned the sod and laid the dead man there. And why was it kept secret? Well, after all, Satan would not want Moses to appear on the Mount of Transfiguration. God took care of this, and God took care of the burial of Moses. It's with a note of sadness, in one sense, that we close the book of Deuteronomy, but we are going with the children of Israel into the land in the next book, the book of Joshua.
Yes, I agree with Dr. McGee that we leave our study in Deuteronomy and with it the life of Moses, with a bit of sadness. It's quite interesting to think that someday in heaven we'll perhaps get to meet Moses. Now normally, as we finish one Old Testament book, we travel to the New Testament, but we're going to stay here in the Old Testament just a bit longer because the books of Deuteronomy and Joshua are so closely linked. We're standing right now at the edge of the land that God promised to the people of Israel, and tomorrow we'll enter the land. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, it's going to be a great day. Before we go, though, I want to tell you where you can get Dr. McGee's e-booklet that he mentioned today. Download your free copy of On Eagle's Wings in the resource section of ttb.org. And while you're online, you can also download your free copy of Dr. McGee's notes and outlines for Joshua. You'll find them, as well as the study guide introduction for Joshua, by going to ttb.org/Joshua. To contact us about our resources, the notes and outlines, or to be placed on the mailing list to receive them automatically before each book study, call 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can also sign up online at ttb.org. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for your company on the Bible Bus through the book of Deuteronomy. We'll see you tomorrow as we begin our studies in Joshua.
Sin hath left the crimson stain. Be washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.